Hey, what's up, everyone? This is David Greenspan, and you are listening to the Mindshare Podcast, a proud member of the Industry Syndicate Media Network. Additional podcasts are available at industrysyndicate.com and mindshare101.com. This week's episode is sponsored by Kits Keep in Touch Systems. This is episode 33. So, she is well-traveled. She has lived in four different countries before settling down here in Canada. No stranger to real estate and having worked in the industry for over 7 years now, she couples this experience together with her experience teaching business studies. Her passion lies in training agents on marketing and growing their businesses by using the latest systems and tools and technologies. She has built her own brand from scratch. And when she's not busy planning and delivering training sessions, she's often found speaking at conferences and other real estate events throughout the GTA. It is my pleasure to welcome Miss Kiran Gandhi to the Mindshare Podcast. Kiran, thank you for making the time today.
Thank you. I couldn't believe it. I was so ready to be like, you just gave me the most awesome introduction and I was ready to go. And as soon as I turned on my camera, it kicked me out. Oh gosh. And here we are talking about tools and technology. This is awesome. This
hey,
is
but amazing. Isn't that the perfect segue Thank for all this so stuff, right?
It totally is. It just goes to show that we are also never, you know, that there are things that can go wrong with anyone. So,
oh my God, absolutely.
Yeah.
And this is not the first time that's happened too. Let me be clear about that. This has happened many times before. And you might say, well, Dave, then you're doing something wrong. And maybe
I am going to blame you because it's easier. So
I get that a lot. And if my wife's listening, she's probably going, yeah, I love her. I've never met her yet, but she's now, right? So I get it. I totally get it. But that's
all. That is awesome.
It's good. It's great to have you here. And I know we tried to do this a couple months ago, but scheduling and all that other stuff sort of got in the way.
Exactly.
And, you know, whenever we get together and we start chit-chatting, it's like, yeah, we'll meet for about half an hour. Next thing you know, it's like hours have gone by. Here we are.
Absolutely.
So no, I'm certainly excited about this one. I will say that, and as I sort of mentioned to you, you know, from a time limit and stuff, I'm going to try to keep us bunkered down today just for everybody, like our listeners. But I guess jumping right into it, I wanted to, I guess, just start off, and I did just give you an intro. I just did share a bunch about you and your background, tried to set the stage for sort of our conversation today. But I thought I'd ask you, maybe you could share just a little bit more, like, what are you up to these days in terms of what you're doing? What are you doing with realtors overall? Where's your focus lie with the realtors now? And sort of just give a background to maybe anybody who's not familiar with you just yet.
Okay, absolutely. Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, I've been in this industry, as you mentioned now, for almost 8 years, just kind of bouncing around different roles, and I've seen it from various facets. So what I'm doing right now more is just empowering agents. I like to say I coach, I train, but really what I'm doing is empowering agents. I like people to, I like coaching in such a way where they feel that they have all the tools, all the knowledge to just go out there and do things themselves rather than me holding their hand through things. So I'm going out there empowering agents on how they can build a system or a business, I should say, that's going to be efficient, that's going to provide consistent level of customer service, that's going to allow them to have a life on the side and actually be able to spend some time with their family and do things that they want to do. So all about balance, but, you know, I coach on various different streams that I've put together, learning streams, just kind of looking at the industry from, you know, various facets. Like I said, also having been in sales for a while, I can see what the need is in the industry. So I've built some training streams. I go around from brokerages to brokerages, and I also do a lot of online coaching, speaking to agents about these different things. But, you know, if I was to put it in one word, it's empowering them.
Empowering the agents. And I think that that's a big deal, right? I think that there's a lot of people. I mean, look, we looked at these numbers, and I think you and I talked about this the other day when we were calling with together. I don't know if we did. I know I mentioned it to a whole bunch of people, and even when I was at RealtorQuest in Toronto a few months ago, there was a lot of conversation about this. And both of us being centralized in Toronto, I'm just going to use our stats for a moment just to kind of paint a picture here. But when you look and say there's about 55,000 agents registered with the Toronto Real Estate Board as of 2018, okay?
Oh, yeah.
When you boil down the numbers, there's about 1,200 of the 55,000 that are possibly doing 12 or more deals. Okay. Correct. That is a pretty, well, that goes to show the people that are working, that are already empowered, that they are winning the game and they are really doing, they've got a real business bugger down, right? But when you look at the people that are not, these people do not have, well, they're not doing their 12 deals. They're not necessarily making the living they need to be making. And even if they're selling one or two houses a year that are, you know, are massive deals, I got it. But that's not really, you know, a living per se. Well, I guess you could argue if they're making enough money on one deal, do they have to do more? I don't know. But let's look at the regular agent that's kind of going out there and saying, yeah, I've got a business to run. I've got to be out there every day. And you just mentioned empowerment. So what is it that I guess you might help them with in terms of empowerment to kind of get them to that point where they go, I wake up in the morning and I know what I need to do today. And I know what I'm going to do this afternoon. Or I know what I'm going to do this evening. And I'm going to consider that being business and working. How do we help people with that?
I think there is a, you know, you're totally right with the numbers and everything. I mean, that's a conversation that we've had many times. You know, we've had it with other people, you know, and just to quickly share a story on that, it's just the barriers to entry to the industry. Like I once remember going to a listing presentation and they were ready to sign with me until they were going to, like, we were going to probably list in 3-4 months. In that time, she went and got her own license because it would be cheaper. So that's basically, you know, oh yeah, 100%. Yeah. So, you know, those numbers are kind of, you know, skewed in that regard because that woman's never going to go do a deal again. But right. From the people, like of the people that you mentioned, the ones that are doing their number of deals, there's also two kinds of agents. There is the kind of agent that has a business built, that knows what they're doing. They have structure, they have systems, they have, you know, a proper schedule in place. They know what they're doing. They have a predictable income stream due to a result of having those systems. But then you have the agent who is successful because they're great at selling homes, but have none of the structures to support that on an ongoing basis and to deliver that consistency. So what I've seen, and this is a pattern I see a lot, is I work with those agents quite a bit who are great at selling, but because they're missing some of the foundational pieces and some of the elements in their marketing, in the structures, in their systems, they are worried about tomorrow because they still don't know what's going to happen 6 months, 4 months down the line. So, you know, and those are the majority of, I would say, of the agents that I work with.
Right. And I mean, there's a great point is, again, you know, they're worried about what's going to happen. They're worried about where their business is coming from and some of those foundational pieces. So when we look at, I mean, hey, we're both working with many realtors and I'm sort of piggybacking now off of, again, that Collingwood conference where we did the mastermind that day. And I've kind of brought that up a couple of times in my, in the past couple podcasts that I've now released over the past couple of weeks since we were in Collingwood. But I thought it was a great jumping off point because it gives anybody listening an opportunity to kind of go, yeah, I'm sitting in the same shoes, I'm having the same struggles, or, oh my God, I've got the perfect solution for that. Or it might give people that opportunity to go, I'm doing a good job over here. And you know what? As bad as yesterday was or today, this morning has been, hey, you know what? I'm in a good place. And overall, the big picture, I'm doing a good job. So when we look at that and we look at the biggest challenges, the biggest struggles, you know, we're both exposed to those daily wins and struggles. What would you say seems to be that kind of biggest struggle that a realtor's facing? And I think you just basically said it, it's systems, right? It's really coming down to what they need to be doing. But where are you finding those big challenges? I mean, I guess going further on systems, what would that look like in terms of a system?
I think it begins from the very basic kind of standpoint. Agents, a lot of those agents don't really have themselves defined as a brand or a business. That's the first step. So like I said, a lot of those agents, all their really, or their biggest strength is being out there in the field and selling. So they never really stop and think about, hang on a minute, what am I doing? And you know, what they find is what all they need to do is take a look at what they're doing, the kind of customer service that they're providing to build their brand, to build their value proposition, because they're already doing those things. It's just a matter of tightening it up and defining it and putting some structure into it. So I think the first thing is, you know, what are my core values as a business? What is the, you know, what level of customer service am I providing? What are some of my strengths? What are some of my clients praising me for? And I always say to agents, I'm like, why don't you ask your clients what they love about you? You know, if you're struggling with that, you have a bunch of happy clients, What is it that they love about you? Is it the fact that you're educating them along the way? Is it the fact that you are communicating, you know, to a high level of service? Or is it, you know, when you put listings up, is there some unique marketing that you're doing? So these little things, they all add up to who you are as a business and a brand. And I think once you start to define yourself, you take it more seriously. It's just a psychological thing. You know, as long as it's just, say, I'm selling homes, it's, you know, and I'm good at it. But the moment you stop and put, you know, a brand together, if you will, that gives you, you know, that kind of structure in that home to, oh, okay, now I'm running a business. And the next step to that would be just to take a look at your day-to-day operations, because efficiency is really key, right? So this is something that we work on, is if you want to grow in this business, you have to grow in the sense that you're going to eventually going to want to add on people. You're going to eventually going to want to have somebody else do that paperwork, do other things that you're not good at. So we start off by doing those processes and those checklists so they can understand what they're doing and the complexities of, you know, their business as it stands and how they can build on that to make it better.
I like what you just said there. So it's a matter of, because I mean, I shared something similar to that the other day of figure out where your strengths lie, right? Figure out what's good for you. What do you do? A, what do you enjoy doing in a day? B, what do you do really, really well? C, what are people coming back to you and telling you about? I mean, we both know, you know, the feedback we receive from, let's say, the big world out there. And I mean, if I had to coin one thing for myself, I always seem to hear from people, oh, you got a lot of energy. And I'm sitting there going like, oh,
you do.
Right. There you go. Yeah, I'm like, oh, okay. But then when you hear it enough from people and you're still looking, going, I'm not sure if I got a lot of energy, but people seem to say that. So how do you take that and roll with that? Or how do you take that and leverage that? And it's much the same for anybody's business. And so we look at the realtor. What are they doing really, really well out there? What can they use to their advantage? And then, like you said, how can they take that and now start to pick up some help where they may need it, as well as be able to teach that system, that something, to somebody else so they can now create a business out of it, rather than, just either be the salesperson or be the marketer, but maybe not be able to do both of them perfectly well together necessarily, right? So looking at that then and saying, so we're going to figure out our skills. We're going to figure out maybe our strengths and our weaknesses, right? Do a little SWOT analysis of ourselves. Once we've got that from a day-to-day, what kind of things are they doing in a day-to-day to kind of go, hey, I'm a great salesperson. I know how to talk to people. I really enjoy people. Yeah, I've got a brand. Yeah, I went and made a logo. And I mean, we could argue the fact that, well, a brand is not just having a logo. A brand is about living it and being passionate about it. What else can they be doing in a day then to be able to create that system, that sort of day-to-day routine? What kind of things do you suggest to people?
I think the biggest thing is use your calendar and put things in there and then stick to them. I know if this is like the most basic thing that I can say, no, but you will be surprised.
I want to know if you guys
you'll be surprised. I always say to her, just like, well, you know, if you have a to-do list, scrap it. Put those items into a calendar. If you actually want to get those things done, you need to slot them with deadlines into a calendar. There is a quote, you know, it's Parkinson's law. I heard recently, it's just like the task at hand expands itself into the time allotted. Meaning, if you're going to give yourself a long time to do something, put it into your calendar for a week or two, that's how long you're going to take to do it. So be, you know, accountability also to yourself on a day-to-day means that you're being realistic with how long you're going to take to do things. So, you know, when I teach people systems, I teach them how to do some of their own design work and some of their own things through Canva and templates and things like that. And they take a really long time doing it because they enjoy it when they really need to be moving on to the next thing. So really being, using their calendar, putting things in and sticking to those schedules, and, you know, making the morning really the morning. I mean, this is something that I work with some of the newer agents on, which I think is really key, is structuring your morning properly. Yeah. So waking up, you know, and I understand, you know, if you have children, if you have other obligations in the morning, sometimes it's not very easy. But if you can get in some of your, you know, some of your pieces that you don't really want to deal with in the day, like your emails, like getting back to, you know, the nitty gritty stuff that you don't really want to do throughout the day, that's going to take you 2 hours in the day, may only take you half an hour in the morning. So getting some of those things out of the way in the morning and then going about your day, you're setting yourself up for success for sure. And, you know, I do that in my business. Like I practice what I preach. I will wake up and I will, you know, after I kind of spend half an hour either, you know, doing some exercise or some meditation or some yoga, like after I'm in the right frame of mind, I will tackle those things that I don't feel like throughout the day.
So is that kind of the, not to get into like, you know, exactly what you do on your own, but is that kind of the idea? They'll wake up in the morning, get yourself mentally prepped, and then from 100%. There start banging off maybe some of the things that you ultimately don't want to do. Is that kind of where you're going with that?
Yeah, because what I'm finding is once they get those things, like once the agents get those things out of the way, like responding to the leads, inquiries, like getting back to those emails and getting back to those things that they don't really feel like doing. Once they're out of the way in the morning, they don't dread the rest of the day because those things stay with them. Like if they know they have to do it in the back of their mind, they stay with them. And then that kind of drags throughout the day. And then when they finally do get down to doing it, they don't feel like doing it at that point. They take longer doing those exercises. So they're losing time, right? So it's all about managing your time properly. I remember when I was in sales, I used to do this too. I used to get to the office at like 8 o'clock at the latest and get done all of the, you know, tasks that I had to do and, you know, reading through some of the forms that I didn't really feel like doing and understanding some of the basics and things like that. Doing some of the market research, getting back to the, you know, getting back to my emails and things. I used to get that stuff done and then I'd give myself a break and I'd feel more, you know, motivated for the rest of the day. I feel like I'm set up for the rest of the day. And that was just a part of a system, right? Like your schedule and what you do during the morning, that's a part of your system. So you start your day off the right way. And then, and we hear it all the time. I mean, it's not really something new, but we don't really do it.
No, but you know what? People don't. And yeah. Look, this comes back to habits. Okay.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's something I do like to talk about a lot. And I think that developing the right habit is important because, and habits are difficult to develop, right? Like it's so much easier to do the things that we know are bad. And those might still be bad habits. I mean, I joked about this on my podcast the other day, whereas if you're going to be, you know, wanted to lose weight, but you're going to go and you're going to eat that bag of chips. Well, we all know it's that much easier to open the bag of chips than to not.
But, we talked about that when we were having lunch and ordering food. Like, what do we order here? Like, but help me. Yeah, we know these things, right?
It's so easy to order the bad stuff or to eat the bad stuff. It's so hard to lose the weight. So it's like, well, it's easier to do this. It's harder to do that. I know I want that, but I'm probably going to do this anyways. So when we look at scheduling, we look at calendars. When should be somebody be getting their schedule lined up? And what kind of recommendations do you have around how to prioritize what needs to be done and then get it there so that, you know, I wake up today and I'm kind of ready to go out of the gate. Do they do that in the morning when they get up while the mind is wheeling?
No. The night before. Always the night before.
Agreed.
always the night before. You'll sleep better. And I think that, you know, it's just one of those things. And I just want to make a point here as well is these little tasks that we don't feel like doing and that we have to do and that we have to kind of get into our schedule. Sometimes I feel that if we don't know where those fit in the bigger picture, we're not motivated to do them. So for instance, if you know a small action contributes to a bigger goal of yours that you have, and it's just a action in a bigger picture, like, you know, it's a part of your goal, you're more motivated because you see where it fits in, right? So if I do this, so if I do my market research every morning, or if I read this, you know, if I read up on this and do my research on this every morning or every day for an hour or half an hour, it's going to in 30 days contribute to this. If I spend half an hour learning a certain system or a certain tool every day, it's going to make me an expert in this in 30 days. So when you see what that's contributing towards, you're more likely to do it.
Right.
And that's why we work backwards from the bigger picture, from like the macro scale down to the minuscule kind of actions that they need to take. And then we put them into a schedule for people, right? Like I can say to people, oh, you need to do X, Y, Z. Yeah, I know I need to do it. But, you know, go in, you know, for some of the teams that I work with for systems, it's just like, let's put your processes together. Something very simple. We're talking systems, right? Let's put your processes together. Let's start with your listings because you're an agent that does a lot of listings and you don't really have any systems in place. So you're forgetting lock boxes. You're forgetting, you know, if the sign was taken down or not. You're not sure if you put the remove your shoes sign at the listing. Like these are little things that we forget and we get stressed out about it. So I'll say to the agent, why don't you start writing down from A to Z everything that you do during, you know, from the moment you get a listing to the moment you take it off the market. I'll do it, but they don't really, you know, sometimes they need that extra motivation. But once that's done, it's you know, it's so rewarding because then they see it as a part of their bigger picture and their bigger like systems and the business operations, and they see where it all fits in and the benefits that it has, they're more motivated to do it. But if I just said to them, go do that as a standalone task, they wouldn't really feel like doing it.
Well, that's the thing. They're always too busy, right? Where, I mean, everybody's just way too busy. And so there's always that complaint of, oh, I know I got to do it, but they don't do it. And I like what you said. It's breaking down that macro picture. What is that big picture? Yeah. Where do I ultimately want to be? Now, what are the steps to go backwards? If I close my eyes, I picture I'm there, but now I got to pretend I'm there and now go, how did I get there? And now take myself back to actually where I'm actually standing today in real life. There's the steps. And those steps don't just happen because you want it. It happens because you work for it. It's the same thing that we've heard growing up as children. If you have children, anybody, it's the same thing we tell our children. You know, they got to go out there and they got to work hard. And the same thing we should be telling ourselves every single day when we look in the mirror. Get out there and work hard. Give it your all. Go and put something out there. And so you've got to have that bigger picture. What is it? So that you can now break it down and start to iron out what your day looks like. And then, you know, we've talked about, you know, you use the term called power list, where there's an one item in a day that come hell or high water, you know, it was sitting there on a task list or to-do list or, you know, the ultimate goals list. But there's that one item in a day where that's it. I'm going to bang this one off and this is going to get done because I don't want to look at it anymore on my list. And I'd really like to get it done. A lot of this comes back to consistency now in how you are managing that day. So it's ultimately knowing where you want to be and then starting to break that down into smaller little pieces so that every single day you're getting a little bit closer to that step. Is that, that's pretty much where you're going down that road, right?
100%. Yeah, 100%. I mean, the biggest system is a system for yourself, right? Like what does my day look like? And you may not know what those things are that you need to do during the times that you're, you know, kind of blocking for yourself or time blocking. I'm a big fan of time blocking. If I didn't time block, I wouldn't get things done, right? So you just have to do your time blocking and you have to make sure you stick to those deadlines. It's like appointments with yourself. You cannot skip those. And a lot of the times what happens is if I say to them, okay, block off an hour every day or an hour and a half every day for the next 30 days to work on your systems and your processes and your checklists, you know, I tell them to take this as seriously as an appointment with a client, because at the end of the day, if it doesn't get done, and the clients will work around them. You know, I know there are situations in our business that come up that we can't really, you know, we have to tend to when we have to tend to them. But oftentimes it's in our head that we have to do things right away with our clients.
Right. No, right? Don't be a slave. No offense, people.
Yeah, no, seriously. It's like, you know, take charge and take control of your day. It's so, so important. And all of those things, you know, they're going to contribute to your brand. And I just want to share a story there as well. When I joined the business and I remember with my business partner, he was doing very well at the time when I joined him, and I walked in with like all these like 100 ideas that I want to do. I want to do custom notes at the listings that we do. I want to do custom for sale signs. I want to do, like, I had a vision. Like when you say brand, the brand that I wanted to build was not just a logo. The logo came after, well after. It was more of a, what do we want to do? What kind of customer service and client experience do we want to create? So my vision was that I want people from all their senses, from when they walk into a listing, what they smell, the air freshener, how they feel, what they see, to be consistent. And that's the brand. So he's like, this is great, but who the hell's going to do all of this, Karen? Because this is a hell of a lot of work.
Yeah. Great idea. Yeah, put that aside for a sec. I'll be right back.
Hang on a minute. And I think a lot of agents, and the funny thing is, like, I see a lot of agents and we go to these conferences and we see all these things that we want to do and we're like so inspired. But until you have a basic system, you don't know where to slot those things
into. One second. I saw a squirrel. No, I'm joking. Keep going.
I'm the same friggin' way.
You said the
conference. I need blinders.
I know.
It's so true, though. And, you know, it's very true. Like, if you, and then once you start to grow your business, it's very hard to consistently deliver that kind of customer service and client experience, which is going to help you grow, because that's going to lead to people loving what you're doing and then them referring you and other people seeing what you're doing and them wanting to work with you. So it was very important to me. So, you know, I remember going through it and sitting there sometimes late at night. If I couldn't do it in the morning, I would sit there late at night. If my day doesn't go the way it planned, I will get that time in to build the structures, because it's key. It's a foundational element that's key.
Okay. So from the structure then, talk about the open house. Perfect. Okay. Just how you brought it up. How did it smell? What did it feel like? How did it look? So was this almost going, I want it to smell like, I don't know, roses. Okay. So I'm going to write down literally on a piece of paper, open house as a title. And then I'm going to say smell roses. And then I'm going to say lighting. And then I might say music, maybe food.
Yeah.
And I start to itemize this stuff. Yeah. Then I go and essentially create a checklist for myself, go and execute on that. Then I probably should walk back in that house kind of like a potential buyer and go, do I like the smell? Do I like the lighting? Do I like the music? And then maybe adjust there. But now I've got my checklist, and this is a system. And I know some people listening might go, oh my God, that's so basic. Or, oh my God, please, I don't need a list for that. No. You do. Because when you come back to the idea around building the brand, and I love what you said there, because I will say to anybody, and for those of you that listen, attentively to Mindshare, I love you. I thank you. I praise you. I'm grateful for you. That said, you do know what Mindshare is. For anybody else that doesn't really pay attention, why? Well, thank you for being here today. But Mindshare really is that idea of building your brand, right? It's just being top of mind, but it is, again, I'll come back to, and I don't want to hear an opinions from people, okay? Because we're live right now and it could be embarrassing for me, but what do you think of when you think of Mindshare? And if you think of David, and you think of Mindshare 101, and then you start thinking about, who I am as a person and what I bring to the table, again, whether you like it or you don't like it, if you think about Mindshare and you think about me, the brand has become, the brand is building. And so now it's when you look back again, back at that open house scenario, and you go, when I walk in and I smell that smell and I taste that food and I, the lighting is a certain way and there's whatever, and I go to another one, whether it's you hosting both of them on two separate weekends in the same day, or it happens to be your team, okay,
hosting another one, people walk in,
bang. Now we're starting to bring something together where I feel like, I went there and it felt the same. I went there and it felt the same. These people seem to be everywhere and they seem pretty successful. And you know what? I actually had a very nice experience in there speaking with him or her. Now you're building a brand. And by the way, let's clarify once again, that had nothing to do with the logo or the color of your logo, right?
No, so your logo is a visual. Yeah. Logo is just a visual representation of everything that you do. And it's just a visual, and it's much easier to know what it is that you do and what your values are and what your, kind of core strengths are and what it is that your vision is for your brand, and then visually kind of create it and then communicate those things to whoever's creating your logo, because then it'll truly represent who you are.
And continue to live it and breathe it every day, right? Because 100%. Again, and I think we hear that a lot from people is, yeah, I was going to do that, but I'm just getting my logo created and my website set up. And as soon as I do that, I'll be ready. And you're kind of going, ready for what? Like, you need a logo and a website to be ready? And don't get me wrong, I understand the importance of both of those elements. I am a marketer. I get it. But it is such a bigger picture. It came down to what you said about even customer experience. How do I want people to think about me? And what kind of, experience do I want to provide to these people as we deal with each other? Every time they come across me, my brand, whatever it is, they're going to feel a certain way. And that's really what it comes down to. This, I put something out about this, a couple months ago, whatever. I put out a lot of stuff, but I said, live it. And it was literally a picture of a guy opening up his shirt, like Superman type thing. And he had the Superman logo, and it was just live it.
Live it,
truly be it. If you want that to be your brand, you got to get out there every day and you've got to be that, right? Yeah, and that's where it starts to come from. So now you look and say, okay, so branding is one aspect of this whole thing. I think personally, the bigger aspect is what you said about the systems, the checklist, the sort of the itemizing and the scheduling. Would you say that that's where a realtor's biggest win comes from, is really being
100%. 100%. Because you know what that allows you to do? It allows you to actually be consistent. And I know we hear this like a broken record over again. But it's the truth. It's the reality. Like, hey, I want to implement all these cool marketing systems and I'm going to get these leads, but I have no systems for follow-up. Or, hey, I want to grow my business and I want to implement all these great things that I'm getting, these ideas I got from this conference, that agent's doing labeled water bottles at their open houses. They're doing this. They're doing that. I want to do these things, but hey, I have no systems. So I may do it once. I may do it twice. I'm probably going to not even bother with bedtime because I have no structure to what I'm doing. Right. So your wins are going to come from consistently doing things. This business is not rocket science. Things we do in this business are not rocket science. It's honestly just about getting them done. And I know it's, you know, it can get a lot. So you said it, like, you know, your team. And that's when I was like, that's key when you said, whether it's you doing it or your team member doing it, but unless you have things written out, your team member is not going to know what to do. I mean, I remember hiring and firing an assistant and thinking it's their fault completely when it was entirely my fault for not having those structures in place. You know, I blame myself at the time because the structures weren't there. So how is anybody supposed to come on board into a scattered environment? And how is a scattered environment supposed to grow?
You have to build the machine first before you try to get anybody else to implement it. Otherwise, you cannot look at anybody else and go, but you didn't know what you were doing. And so I love the simplicity of the list, writing lists. I mean, look, I do it on a regular basis. And it's funny because you go, it's almost so simple. I'm definitely not the most sophisticated guy out here. There's got to be a better process. But like the reality, the reality, it's like you could use a pen and a paper. You could type it into to Excel. You could put it into your phone. I don't care where you put your list. As long as you've got it accessible, you can start to look at it and execute on it. And then once you look at it and execute on it, do you need to edit it? Do you not need to edit it? And then where can you put that so that now you go, this is how we do it, right?
You're always going to edit it. And I think that's one of the things to remember is your processes are going to start off with, you know, very small. And as you work through them, you're going to keep adding things to it. You're going to keep improving them. And they'll start on something like the whiteboard behind me, or like you said, pen and paper. But if we're talking about tools for a moment, I mean, there are tools like Trello, Asana, Monday. Like, there's all these project management tools that are they're really easy to use. You can download them on your phone. They're easy to follow, easy to kind of, you know, to help you implement them, right? And even, you know, whether you're an individual agent or, you know, a bunch of you. But that comes after. You know, as agents, we always go to the tool first. We always run to the tool first without even having the meat of it in place. So you got to do the boring work first. Like I said, get it done out of the way in the morning if you have to. But all of those things contribute towards who your brand is and what your brand is and what you stand for. And I sometimes, if agents are struggling with that, I just say to them, hey, just write down a bunch of keywords that come to your mind when it comes to, you know, what you want in your business or what clients are saying about you. And when you look at those keywords, it all comes together.
Yeah. Keep it simple, stupid is kind of the idea, right? Like, I think that, and I use Trello, and I know I was having conversations with some folks that are using Asana. And I've had some people actually tell me, oh, but I've really tried Trello and it's a great system, but Asana does more. Okay, great. But there's probably a lot of people right now listening to this going, what? Trello? Who? Asana? What? Yeah. Relax. Don't worry about that stuff. Come back to the basics right now and just start creating your lists, right? Create your list. You see, the reason I moved into Trello, straight up, the reason I moved into Trello is so that I could have somewhere to put my content. And it was not where I put it to share it out with you guys, the world, but it was these ideas that float through this mind that never stops moving. Where do I put this stuff? Because in about 10 seconds flat, when I see the squirrel, I'm about to forget about that great idea I just had. So where do I document? So I started documenting on my black book. And the problem with that was to look at something that I put a few days ago or a week ago, I got to start circling. I got to go back on pages. And what I ended up finding was I kept flipping pages all day, scrambling to flip pages to figure out which page I wanted to find. Too much work. So then I started putting into it Excel. And on Excel, pardon me, I went to my phone on my notepad, which I still kind of use, but then I transfer because I still need, you need a master. So I went to Excel and I started writing it there, but Excel really wasn't the most visually appealing place to put content ideas. However, checklist for your open house or for your, you know, listing or for your data. That's a great place to put it. Why not? You've got it there. It's easy. Again, not very visually appealing. You can do whatever you want with the spreadsheet. Fine. For me, with the content perspective, wasn't enough. That's where, for me personally, Trello came in. And I do not, like, I touched the tip of the iceberg. I do not go as deep as it could possibly go. There are some people that do. But again, I like to keep it simple. I like to make sure we're saying to everybody here, keep it simple. Because otherwise, what we're doing is we're going, hey, bright, shiny object, go learn this new app. And then people might even take our advice and go and learn this new app. And now they're taking way too long to learn this new app. And what happened to the actual work that they have to do out there? Because this all started with just making a list.
No, we honestly, we try to distract ourselves. We procrastinate it. We think we have to get it perfect. Oh, when I learn this entirely, I will do it. We're just kidding ourselves. Like, yeah. It's honestly just works. We're making excuses. You know, it's that work that you said, that writing it down, that putting pen to paper, however you do it, and then transitioning over into Trello. And I love Trello as well. And I mean, for me, and I think for most agents, for what it is that they need to do, Trello works amazing, and it's free for the most part. So it's just, you know,
I don't pay for it. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's not something I pay for. So, okay, let's talk about those for a second then. We bring up Trello, we bring up Asana. You brought up one other one that you just mentioned a moment ago.
Monday. I kind of peeked into it. It looked really good. But again, Trello works great for me.
All good. So, but those are some apps that can help people with a little bit more organization, right?
Precisely.
Let's not, though, say to anybody, in my mind, correct me if you agree or disagree here, I still am going to say use your calendar as your Bible. Like, that's your go-to. That's where you're scheduling your day. That's where you're putting all your stuff. Use your calendar because you can visually see it. Trello I can have on my phone and my computer and it all works. It synchronizes perfectly, but I'm going to look at my calendar so that when you say to me, hey, Dave, do you have time on Wednesday at 1 p.m.? I can look at that calendar and go, no, I'm sorry, I'm booked. Does, you know, Wednesday at 3 work or is Thursday at 10 better? Whatever, right? The calendar allows us to see that stuff. So in terms of the other texts that are out there, so we look at some of the organization and the list building stuff. Are there any other kind of tools that you sort of say to people, hey, don't jump into it, don't dive into it, but I suggest maybe you look into this. Is there anything there that you might share?
Well, to be honest, there is one that I really like, and that's if you're using Yesware, and this is a very simple product. It's called Yesware for Gmail. So I really like that. I've been using it a lot. It allows Yesware. Yeah. So I'm trying to pull up and see if I know what the pricing is. I think it starts at about $15 a month, but it's great for, it's a plugin on your Gmail, which most of us, I mean, if you're not using Gmail, you should be using Gmail. It's great. Yeah. And what it does is it tackles a few of the things that you just said. So number one, it allows for you to track your emails that are going out. So your outgoing emails, you can see if they've been read, if they've been opened. And when we send out emails, how often do you find that when you're sending out an email, you want to remember to follow up with this person if you don't hear back from them?
Right.
Like if they don't respond within a couple of days, you want to follow up with them, right?
Okay.
So you can set those reminders with outgoing emails, which I love because it takes the stress away from me to have to remember anything about follow-up.
So explain that to me. How does that work? So you've sent me an email today.
Yeah, I'm like, hey, David.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
So I'll send you that email. And then basically with the email, I'll also simultaneously set a reminder for myself to be reminded to follow up with you if you don't respond. So if you don't hit reply and I'm asking you a question or it's a proposal I'm sending you or it's like, you know, some dates for showings and you're not responding back, it will send me an email in 24 hours, 48 hours, whatever time I say and say, hey, David hasn't responded. Do you want to follow up? So that's great.
Interesting. So now when you're basically composing the email, you're composing it through Gmail, you're composing it through Yesware.
It's all in Gmail. So Yesware is just a little add-on. So you're still using your Gmail, you know, on your browser as you would. It's no different.
And then are you setting a reminder in that basically as you compose the email, you're basically setting or clicking a box or something and saying, hey, yeah,
exactly.
Let me know what happened with this thing.
Exactly. In the message drafting kind of window, there's a little checkbox, remind me, and then you set the date and time and it'll remind you. It's super straightforward.
So then let's go here for a second. You talk about follow-up and I'm huge on the follow-up. I think that when you think about, you know, I called you today, you didn't pick up, I left you a voicemail. My process would be, I'm going to go right into the system right now and I am going to put in the fact that I called you. I left you a voicemail. And then I'm probably going to schedule you ahead in my calendar automatically because I don't know when you're going to call me back, but I know I don't want to forget about you. So that's it. You're already going in the calendar. That could be next week. Now, all of a sudden, tomorrow, you call me back. Well, I'm going to punch you into my system. I'm going to look you up. I'm going to look very quickly at what's going on. Oh yeah, I left you a voicemail. I probably know why I was calling. I go in there. I track that. We now talk on the phone. I track my notes about what we said. I then basically kind of what's our next step? Whatever we agreed on, is it a call, is it an email, is it a get together, is it never talk again? Who knows, whatever we comes up mm-hmm. with. But now I'm going to take that, I'm going to schedule that ahead in my calendar, or I'm going mm-hmm. to mark it complete. But I've now got my running history with my notes. I now can track what's going on in my schedule. The one missing element maybe I don't have, which I'm trying to see how that might fit in even to my world, is that little thing from yes, we're kind of going, hey, by the way, she didn't respond to your email.
Yeah. Gmail started to do that anyway. Yeah.
They're starting to do that.
Yeah, yeah. Gmail itself, like, it'll have those, send 2 days ago, send 3 days ago, do you want to follow up? But, you know, nobody really looks at that. So this works really well. And this is just one of the little things that it does. I love it for the email tracking too, because when you're calling people, it's good to know that they've opened your emails.
Yeah,
and this is not your CRM. Like, you know, if it's going out through your system, you have those stats, right? Like, that's perfect. Yeah. And that's for mass emails. But this is more for individual emails that you're sending on a day-to-day communication.
Interesting. And sorry, you said it's free?
No, it starts at $15, it's a great like email management tool, if you will, if you're looking for to kind of systemize things a little bit and streamline things on that.
Yeah. End. Okay, cool. So we've talked about time management. We've talked about a little bit of brand building and marketing. From a technology standpoint, you just introduced us to a very cool app. I wasn't aware of it. Maybe other people are going like, Dave, how didn't you know about that stuff? Well, I'm sorry, I didn't. Is there anything else that you might say is part of a toolbox that either you use or you've heard a whole bunch of people use that you might go, hey, use?
I'm a big fan of simplifying things. I'll be honest with you. I mean, your system is something that I've heard a lot of my clients actually use and be very happy with. But and this is honestly me not just saying this because I'm on the podcast with you. Like, you know, this is, you know, there are people even before I met you, this is something that I've been, you know, hearing about in offices, and it gets people results because it's just so personalized.
Yeah.
And that's cool, you know, other than that, one of the things for me is like, I've tested and tried and tested some of the most complicated apps, and I always resort back to a few that are simple, easy to use, are not going to scare away anybody and still get the job done. So Trello is definitely one.
Cool.
Use your Google Business Suite, like the entire G Suite, the Google Drive, your Google Calendar, Gmail, like using those in
Love
conjunction with one another, Google Drive. And this is a simple one, but you know, you will get majority of what you need between Trello, between your Google Suite. And then I like Yesware, as I said, I like using a Canva a lot. Anything to do with branding, because you can build your templates into there for your social media, for your print marketing. I mean, I have my life in Canva. It's a bit unhealthy, really.
You know, Canva, it's true, because the thing about Canva is realistically, I mean, don't get me wrong, you're not going to be able to do what, you know, the graphic designers do with Illustrator, Photoshop, you know, all these different programs.
Yeah.
However, you want to get something done, some sort of branding, some sort of advertisement, you've got any type of literacy when it comes to computers, technology, which if you don't these days, well, what's going on? But you want to, like, I mean, if you can turn something on, you should be able to create a design in Canva very, very easily. And I can tell you, I use it, I abuse it, and I don't pay for it. Mm-hmm. And that's the best part about it, right? It's free.
Yeah, it's free.
It's free.
And that's the thing, right? Because we should only, as agents, I feel like we stop putting all our money into like, oh, $20 here, $10 there, $5 there, $20 there. And then at the end of it, you're looking at it and you're not using half of that stuff. That really is a demotivating factor too. So really making sure that the systems you're going to pay for are ones that are going to work for you, not for other agents, for you,
right,
for what you need, not for what XYZ and other people at your office are using, for what you need.
And if you pay for it and you don't use it, it doesn't mean it doesn't work. It means you don't work. Okay. But here, talking to that for a moment, then when we talk money, real quickly, budgeting, that's a big deal in my world in terms of how I really try to structure my clients. You've got a budget, you know, and I'm fortunate. We've got a wonderful business where people will call, they'll ask how much, everything else. And my biggest question is, and I know I've said this one to you before, but what's your budget? And they turn around, they're like, well, it depends how much it costs. I'm like, okay,
yeah, depends.
$25,000 a month. You in?
Yeah.
They're like, what? I'm like, no, I'm kidding. But like, can you afford it? No. Okay, good. What's your budget? This is a big deal. You talked about $20 here, $14 there. And I'm one of those people. And now, don't get me wrong, I don't have any that I'm paying the 20 to the 14 that I'm not using. I make sure to use them. But there are those little things where you're like, it's only 14 bucks a month. I can do that, right? Next thing you know, have you really done your math? What kind of importance or weight do you put on understanding your budget in terms of where it lies in, I guess, the longevity, like your success of your entire business?
It's so important, David. It's amazing. Like, it amazes me how many agents don't know their numbers at all. One of the things I have in Trello, and one of the things I encourage people to build, is I have like a list with their business assets. And some of those things are going to be your budgets, the products that you have subscriptions to, what they do, and then really knowing your numbers. Because until you know your numbers, you don't know if your business can or cannot afford those things and whether there's a real need for it or not. And you know, we're notorious for it. It's like having that gym membership. I mean, you pay for it, you think you're losing weight, you're doing some good deeds because you have that gym membership. Yeah. I used to feel really good. Like, I've donated a lot of money to the gym thinking it's going to help me.
Does it help with the end all goal in any way if you don't walk in the door?
Shockingly, no. I don't know why. I was paying for it.
But isn't it like that with everything we do, right? Is it you've really got to put in the time, you've got to know your numbers, because the reality is everything out there will cost you money to build your business, to maintain your business, to market it, to build the systems around it, to build the brand around it, to build the culture around it, you know, to build longevity out of it. The reality, it takes money to make money. And yes, you 100%. Can start from zero, and no, you do not need to blow your brains out there spending lots of money on all sorts of stupid shit, but you do need to be focused in on what you are trying to build. So like Kieran said, and like I've said many times, what is that end goal? Now let's work backwards and go, what do I need to do to get there? And a big part of that will always revolve around how much money you have to spend and how dedicated you are to the process. So you're creating a consistent daily habit of proper execution. That's it. Because it's these little things we do every day that get us to that end game. And it's the little things we do every day that we hate doing that get us to the end game. But it's those people that do them, and we see the numbers, because there's only a tiny, tiny, tiny little bit of people that do them. But it's those people that do them that actually end up winning. And now, so if you're one of those people that are looking, going, well, how do they keep winning? How do they keep doing more? They're systematized. They've got a process. And that's, I think, what we're trying to, well, not I think, that's what we're trying to get across to you today. Loaded. Time always flies. Do you have any sort of closing words or anything you might want to leave behind just before we head out?
No, you know what? We talked about, yeah, we bounced around a lot. We talked about a lot of different things, but I think one of the things I will say, they're all, and everything connects. It's all part of the bigger picture. Like, we talk about systems, we talk about branding, we talk about tools, like all of these things, they're all important and they all tie into the big picture. As you said, where is it that you want to go? And these are all going to be those things that you have to get done. And I think, for me, what I say is consistency is one thing, but we're in a customer service industry. The only thing we have to offer is a service that we offer, and the level of customer service that we offer to our clients that differentiates us from the next person. It's how often we communicate. It's how well we, you know, communicate. Communication is a huge one. How organized we are, how, you know, what the kind of marketing that we're doing, the kind of touch points that we have, all of those things are part of the customer experience. And once you have those basic structures in place, and if you do the work to do those things, it allows you to see, when you see your list, you can see, I can enhance my customer service here, 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 and here. And you can allow to really grow your business and your brand, and you're naturally start to grow as a business at that point.
It'll just start happening, right? And nobody's going to turn the light on today and say, hey, that's it, you're there. You're just going to start to feel it. And it's going to come from one little piece of feedback that you get from somebody. And a few months later, you get another piece of feedback. And then all of a sudden, it becomes every few weeks. And then it becomes a little bit more often. And wait a second. Things are working.
Yeah.
Where can people find you?
On social media, 100%. I'm there on social media. They can connect with me. They can go on agentconsulting.ca, my website, if they want to get some more information. But you know, best thing to do is just connect with me on social media. I like to just kind of get to know the people I'm working with, or that they want to say hi, just, you know, just drop me a line.
Sweet. And I'm going to encourage everybody, if you don't know Kieran, well, you do now, make sure you get in touch. Like I said, many times we get into hours and hours of conversation, but I could tell we could have kept this one going.
I'm glad you did a time check.
You better believe it. Otherwise, I know us. We would have just kept rolling. Like, oh my God, the day is gone. And we would have done that again because we've done it before many times.
You're either listening to this on iTunes, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever podcasts are available. Or maybe you went to industrysyndicate.com or even mindshare101.com. Wherever you like to consume your content, please rate, review, and subscribe. And if you haven't yet, connect with me on Facebook at mindshare101 and on Instagram at davidgreenspan101. This has been another episode of the Mindshare Podcast. Thanks everyone for listening.